Published in 1900. The famous movie of that name came out in 1939, which Judy Garland sang, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So I'd invite you to join me, if you know it, to sing just the first verse. Sing with me, and then you can sing it all day because it will be stuck in your mind. I know you want to keep going. Another time. Thank you, Ashanta. Rainbows are a symbol of hope, light after grief and despair. They are a symbol of transformation, of moving from one place to another, from uncertainty to clarity, from home to another place, from living to dying. Just last weekend, we, my family, gathered with loved ones to say farewell to a special couple in our lives. And two times this week, on my commute home to Langley, I was blessed with rainbows. Over high above 99 on the commute home. Connection, transformation, and hope. Over the last several years, I've attended a few butterfly releases, which create a profound mix of sadness, beauty, and release. New life created and released in memory of a loved one. Butterflies, like rainbows, can be a profound symbol of grief, as their symbol is widely used with the grief world. When I lost my daughter, many years ago, Langley Hospital placed a butterfly on my door. Vancouver Hospice Society has a butterfly lamp that they light as someone is in their final hours. The act of releasing butterflies or adding a butterfly to a space serves as a powerful way to connect and transform and add hope to a circle. The entire focus of my sabbatical and continued learning is within older adult ministry. Now, I know that's not the favorite term for many of you. You don't want to be categorized into being, well, I'm an older adult. But for this sake, journey with me, and especially listen if you're in the 70, 80, 90, 100 stage. My ministry within the church is really with all ages, from little Sebastian over there to Bob Walters, who died just last week at 102. Bless his heart. And by naming older adult ministry, we're not trying to put everyone in a category. It just allows us to dig deeper into what the needs are for particular age groups and to recognize how amazing it is when we bring one generation together with another one. The church is a blessing when it comes to intergenerational connection. Older adult ministry obviously involves the end of life. But of course, anyone can die at any time. Just this fall, I could have died in a car accident. Thankfully, I'm here with you today. I recently received a call from Richmond Hospital to come and pray with a 36-year-old dying with cancer. My passion for decades has been grief and loss work, and now with the addition of MAID and with a movement to really support people to end well, I wanted to make this a practice. Every day in the world, we hear about death, and it's really hard to constantly listen openly to global events of war, murder, genocide, violence. There's been a lot of buzz in this building over the last few weeks since Reverend Glenn offered his sermon and displayed some tough photos for you to witness. But it's important as we grow in our faith and live out our lives to visit the tough places. My focus wasn't on that type of tough death. It's really hard. Instead, I completed the Death Doula program through Douglas College, and I attended Vancouver School of Theology summer school looking at life after death. More of the peaceful way to end and how best to support you, my community, through it. Jesus and his ministry of helping and healing those who were unwell, in addition to those who were witnessing the dying, was a ministry in its own of ending well. He went directly to those in need. Jesus met with the weak and the sick and the lonely, and he brought God's healing and strength to those he met. We all have experiences of ending well, or perhaps experiences of things not ending well. As named with children today, ending well when a teacher leaves or retires or you move a home, your pet dies, you're moving out of your neighborhood after many years. Jesus calls us into loving ourselves and therefore loving ourselves from birth until death, and he calls us into the act of beginning well and ending well, which is not easy work. Ending well isn't easy at any time, and even more challenging when there's additional challenges. Feelings of frustration can be just as transformative in our lives as when there is peace. I think of when a person gives up driving or is unable to renew a license, or a partner is diagnosed with dementia, or when someone dies and the family is fighting. My family has a history there. The dictionary explains that to end something is to experience the final part of something, the furthest point. And if you look at this rainbow, this photo taken above Iona, Scotland, rainbows are such images of wonder. Where does it end? What happens on the other side? What do the colors mean? And of course, where's the gold? In my experience, when someone is in hospice and ready to let go, they know. They are often profoundly ready, more ready than those loved ones that have gathered. And that's beautiful ministry work, doula work that is peaceful and present in a room with just that person. Often when gathered, symbols representing life, artwork, music's playing, photos, their favorite flowers, a prayer shawl. Last week when our grandma was dying, I brought in her teacup because that was an important connection between her and me. And of course, ending well isn't just the act of dying. There's palliative care, which may be experienced for someone for several years. There's hospice, when end of life and pain management are the focus. There's vigils in the final hours. The vigils are so special in their own entity. I've been present where someone has requested fresh, warm bread because they were a baker and that smell was just something they connected with. I was with someone else who was like, Carrie, I just want a glass of wine. Then, of course, there's what happens after someone dies. In my office, I have Sally's Bible. Sally attended this congregation for 20 or so years and died last year. She was an educator, a Rotarian, a president of the Residence Next Door, Dream Auction extraordinaire. That just names a few of her accomplishments. Her health declined, but she kept going. And she was a planner. But she didn't plan to die. And she died in her sleep one night. But did you know that even with all of the planning that Sally did, and she kept us in line with her passion and her support and her dedication to this community, she didn't leave a hint or a word or a note, anything about how she wanted to end well. Her family recreated her life story and offered a beautiful service. One of the learnings is that not enough of us are leaving the notes, are talking with our loved ones, are writing down our hopes for ending well. Jesus visited the towns and villages and spoke to people directly about their needs, and they went to him. And through that example, we are called to have the tough conversations. I know you all have opinions about your favorite hymns. I know that you have favorite instruments, the trumpet for me, books or poems, your favorite scripture readings and prayers. Write them down, even on a sticky note, and slide it in your Bible. Later this spring, as part of my sabbatical sharing, I'll be hosting a funeral planning workshop where you'll have the opportunity to do just that. There will also be a death cafe where you can come and ask questions and wonder together about all things death-related. Doesn't that sound like fun? It's about creating comfortable conversation in community, in safe community. For now, I challenge you to strike up a conversation at tea time or over lunch with your loved ones or maybe just to yourself and say, have you thought about your funeral? Do you even want one? And what is important to you in ending well? We do so well at caring for people when they are sick or injured. We have first aid kits and rides and casseroles and prayer shawls. All that is ready and needed and welcomed. And we do so well in welcoming little humans with baby showers and diaper deliveries and offers of babysitting. But do we have our toolboxes ready for ending well? Death doulas are an added presence to a circle of support when someone has reached their end. We don't provide advice or medications or anything to do with medical care. Our role is simply to be present. How best can we support this person in this moment? A number of years ago, I officiated a funeral for a teenager who died very tragically. Those are the hardest services. And the service went off fine. It was a year later that I received a call from the father of the person who had died, thanking us for creating space for them, community members, not church members, to say goodbye to their beloved son. He spoke about how healing was so key to that service. That was the beginning of his healing. He spoke about the powerfulness he received from God's healing and the spirit at work within him and how he changed directions in his life from a really tough time into a positive one. God heals us and hears our prayers. Jesus sets examples for us on how to care for others as well as ourselves. And our United Church Creed reminds us always that we are not alone. We know that our bodies won't last forever. We also know that Jesus gives us life through his love and his story and his hope. And like that, we can see and feel that hope when looking at images like a rainbow or a butterfly. To end, I want to share with you the words that were framed in a picture frame above the bed of Mr. and Mrs. Cunnings, who we celebrated last weekend. They were married 68 years. Let me grow lovely, growing old. So many old things do. Laces and ivory and gold. And silks need not be new. And there is healing in old trees. Old streets a glamour hold. Why not I, as well as they, grow lovely, growing old? Amen.